This is Sam from the Masculine Journey Podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue. Today, that we have had such a wonderful time with the team in the studio here for the last few weeks, and we've been lighting the lantern around the world to kind of feel like what it's like to go into different places and do extractions. And I hope you listened last week. If you didn't, go back and get the podcast and listen to where we had Sabine from, you know, the island of Haiti. So we thought it might be interesting to kind of go to another island. And what's it like to do an extraction there and what's involved in it? Because clearly, when we talked about Pakistan a few weeks ago, oh man, if you didn't listen to that episode, go get that one. I mean, oh my goodness. What was going on there with the making of the bricks and all this stuff was completely different in the islands. And so we're going to go on this island extraction, Mark, and kind of lead us in. How did you find out about it and you know, the government or what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start off a little bit with a comment about the infrastructure of countries. And then we really want to express in this show how much our hearts break for the victims and why it keeps us doing what we do. But first of all, in this country, some islands and some parts of the world, the infrastructures are pretty weak. Even though we're working with the governments, there's just not a lot of resources. And from the raid side to the justice side to the aftercare side, and we are constantly weaving in and out of those to put a network together, and that's really hard. But in this particular island, I will say this. This is one of the more put together places we work in. And there's a great amount of resources and ability to use law enforcement agencies and get strong intelligence.
Yeah, something I can say about this island is this was a God thing for sure. When we first decided we were going to go to this island and try to get a program established, Mark can talk to this too, and so can the rest of the team. Man, these doors just flew open. We've talked about jiggling the handles before, and we didn't have to jiggle them. They were shaken. And these doors just flew open, and the amount of blessings that we had setting up this network, it still boggles my mind today.
Yeah, probably by the third time into the country, we're sitting at the table with different ministers within the government, you know, Minister of Justice, Attorney General, the Vice President, all at a table. I mean, that quick. I mean, that is God's blessing. And when he does that for us in a country and he brings people together, it doesn't matter our skill set and all our training to make this happen. It's the Lord that makes this happen. And when he does this, my heart gets excited because I know there is a girl he wants rescued. Like, all of that comes together because there is somebody whose life has to be changed.
Yeah. So can you kind of take us into that, Alan? You know, I can imagine that you're going to get this word. You guys are going to fly out to this country and kind of prepare us for what's going through your mind.
Yeah, like they said, those doors kind of flew open and we kind of went through those doors. But what we talked about previously was this operation, and we kept it vague, but we went through the tactical side of that operation and some of the things that we did tactically. But just to keep people in perspective, we are just like the listeners out there. We are human beings. And, you know, you hear some of the things we do and have seen, and they actually impact us too. It's not any different than what you could imagine seeing. So we see those same things and we have those same emotions. So I'll just kind of take you into some of the things we saw during that operation. When first got there, you know, we got the briefing from the Joint Task Force, we'll call it, and we understood what the objective was. The objective was these two small children. And when I say small, I think the one was 18 months and the other one was just a few years old, 5 years old. So as an individual going into that, you kind of distance yourself emotionally, and it is almost a job. But when it's right in your face and you see those kids,
Yeah.
You know, you can't. It's one of the things about radios. I can see what's actually going on. Is you can imagine, you know, an 18-month-old baby, and some of the stuff that's being done to this, you couldn't ask for more innocence. And just, you know, we weren't designed to see that kind of evil.
Yeah, and another thing I know that hit the team really hard on this one, and I don't know if we've really discussed it, is who was really the foundation of this trafficking was the mother of these children. She was who was perpetuating this trafficking and selling her two little girls to men to abuse them. So, and I know that hits the team especially hard.
These were beautiful children. I mean, and they all are beautiful, but you know, I remember entering after they breached the door and we're in the home there and evidence is being gathered. And there's moments where you just stop and you just stare at the kids, you know, because you're just so overtaken that why would they do this? And if you have your own children, you then place your children in that environment and you think, what if this was my child? And you're grateful that it's not. And you're thinking of all the accommodations and comfort that your own daughters receive in America and what's lacking in for these children that they've not received. And then on top of that, they have been abused and they have been, you know, exploited and they've been molested and they've been, you know, all extremes. So, you know, your heart breaks for them. The thing I never forget about any of the victims, and it's, you know, there's so many now that we've been able to rescue, but what I don't forget are their eyes. You know, the eyes of each child, each victim, they sometimes are very hollow. Sometimes they're hurt. Sometimes they are excited, you know. Sometimes they are confused, but those eyes will just tell you a lot about those girls.
Wow. I mean, that's, you know, the power of what you're actually seeing. So, Alan, can you take us back to where you were?
So, with that said, when you go into those situations, you see a multitude of things. You actually see a family. As dysfunctional as it may be, it is a family, and you're looking at mothers, you're looking at sons, you're looking at daughters, you're looking at children. And then in this particular case, you know, the children were the victims, but you can almost see that they don't know that they're a victim. They're just doing what they're being led to do by the people they trust and love. So as an individual going through that situation, those things, you know, you can't negate those. They're going through your mind. So you've got to be able to keep it in perspective. You know, you have the anger, emotion going on, which I try not to get into, but hunger is my main thing. But even that hunger emotion is overwhelmed by all those other emotions. You know, you have the love for the child. You know, you have the anger at the mother for putting them in that position. And you have anger for the other family members that obviously know or have an idea of what's going on. And you can't let that overtake you and take you away from your true objective, which is to get those individuals, those children, out of that position they don't even know they're in, really. And once they are brought from that position, you can actually see that light that Mark talks about in their eyes start to light up, that hollowness, and they're actually realizing that there is true love, and it's not what they've been seen or given up to this point.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I think about, you know, God saw all much worse than what you guys saw, right? And he was right there for those eyes. And, you know, when you say, wonder how all these doors got open, you know, God's heart broke, and he was like, something's going to happen. And, you know, I'm going to do something about this. But at the same time, you guys were definitely in harm's way too, because all the intelligence wasn't there, right?
Yes, intelligence is what it is. There's certain facts that you get, but a lot of times those facts lead into other things. So you don't get the whole package. Sometimes it unfolds as you're engaged in the operation. And this particular case, we had mentioned before that it did open up more as we started doing the interviews and speaking with the family members and that. It revealed the fact that there was more than just that household involved in this exploitation of these children. It actually reached further out, and it went initially across the street, and then it went across the country to other areas in the world that were engaged in this particular exploitation of these children. So
as I was thinking, you know, just the perspective on that is, you know, I'm me and I'm seeing myself there. I just naturally would picture it, and my heart is breaking and all these things are going out, and I would lose focus on the fact that, oh my goodness, there's people that are willing to kill you for what it is that you're in the middle of trying to do there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's where all the training that, you know, and I heard your wife had you go through and all this stuff, you know, that God, you know, prepared you for such a time as this, Mark.
You know, if you took my pulse right now, it just jumped from it's 60 to about 150, because one of the emotions I had that day, and I'd like TC to comment too, and all of us, is just straight up anger. I'm completely confessing this, and this because I'm rambling here. I cannot stand it when a perpetrator smirks at me, and I see that all the time. We arrest people, we engage people, and we get a smirk from them. Or you get they're overly kind. Now that they're arrested, they're trying to act like they're your buddy, you know, and you're like, you're not my buddy. You know, if I was God, your life would end right now, you know? And that is all of those emotions you're having, because you're looking at the victims, you're looking at the children, and now you're engaging with somebody who's smirking at you, you know, even though he's been caught what's wrong. And I know in the States, in law enforcement, you've seen this throughout your whole career, TC.
Absolutely.
But, yep. You know, we see it as a team, too, in countries that we work in.
I think the anger in and of itself for us as Christians is not sin. Anger is actually an emotion that moves us to action.
Right.
So is compassion. And so we have those things mixed in. We don't do anything perfectly as a team or as humans. But to then go and as we move with that, It's under control. I've never seen the team out of control, but to let that anger move us to an action that is correct, and to honestly, to in my mind, put the fear of God in perpetrators to right. wipe the smirk off. I'm not a big smirk liker, so to have the smirk go away is satisfying.
It's fascinating that, you know, in so many Proverbs, when you think about it, that haughty eye.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, when you said that, immediately it just flashed in my mind two or three confrontations I've had in my life where, you know, this person has just been way the world out of line, and I go to straighten that situation out, and they give you that smirk.
Right.
And like, oh, that there's something that just comes over. Like, I'm
yeah,
I'm
we had a smirker that day in this particular raid. We had
a
smirker.
Tell us who was the smirker.
It was, you go ahead. I mean, I think there was a couple, but there was definitely the one that we had in handcuffs there.
Yeah. As I said, you know, it kind of evolved as the intelligence was gathered, and it led us across the street to an individual that was depicted in some of the photographs as abusing the children. And not that it showed clear.
I hate to jump in right here, but it's a perfect time because we got to go to a break. When you come back, we're going to find out who the smirker was. But more than that, we're going to find out some updates on where that family is today, and some things that God is doing around the world as we go island hopping here with Lantern on Lantern Rescue. Stay tuned. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operations, law enforcement, and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Well, welcome back to Lantern Rescue as we lighten up some things that I'm sure your hearts are touched like mine. Like, oh my goodness. So, to give us an idea a little more how beautiful God's light is, sometimes we have to see how dark things are. And so when we left our hero, Alan, who I like to think of as Santa Claus, is from Rise of the Guardians, if you know. But anyway. he's over there and he's trying to find the smirker. So you got to take us there, Alan.
So, like I had said, you know, the pictures didn't clearly identify the face or but there's some features that you could see within the photographs that definitely identified the individual. So that individual lived across the street. and the intelligence we gathered in the residence led us there. So a warrant was issued almost immediately to facilitate an entry into his place and to gather more intelligence. But while that took place, and we were able to come out, and all of a sudden, this individual that was abusing, which is a very loose term and light term in regards to these children, is now trying to act like our friend or our buddy, or take the truth, which was he was the perpetrator, off the focus and put it on. So I found myself at one point in this individual's house, and I was standing about 6 inches from him, and all those emotions that we talked about were there. So like Mark had said, you know, you want to wipe that smirk off, and that is probably one of the hardest things to fight when you're right there and you have the ability, and you know you can, seek vengeance and to hold back from doing that. That was probably one of the more difficult times to do that.
Yeah, not that, you know, and my team during the break, why you have so much emotion in this is that, you know, I use the word molest and we say abuse, but I guess for our listeners, we try to sugarcoat it. The reality is this man was being paid to rape these children, take pictures of it, and provide it, you know, through the internet, through another country to an American. And there, I mean, this is on a level of abuse, you know, like Alan said, it's a loose term. This is the extreme form of it.
Yeah, because you got an 18-month-old baby.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, you guys have seen these pictures. Yeah. Right, so you recognize the man, and then this guy smirks.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm picturing that, and I'm feeling it. But the cool thing behind it is God. Right, He's got the final word, and there will be justice. Right.
One of the things that we talked about at the break, real quick, is as Mark had talked about before, and Ren had talked about God opening doors and the. To me, I look, and so there's a chain of darkness from mom all the way to the States by way of another country. There's a chain of darkness that gets these kids abused. But on the other side of that is a chain of light, of righteousness, of justice in my mind, where from Mark and Ren putting this team together to God getting us here to a call from the States to another country, to this country, to where that chain was broken. So I think it's important for the victims to have hope that the darkness for them, the abuse, is going to end. But I think it's hugely important for the listeners to know that as they support, as they pray, as they understand these things, that there is hope, that there are people in the chain of light who are ending the darkness that they can be a part of. You know, part of the chain of darkness is there's a demand somewhere to see these kids abused. Like, and sometimes the people that are just taking this in, the pornography and the abuse, they don't think of the victims. They just think, you know, this is a victimless whatever, whatever. It isn't like that. So anywhere that our listeners can be a part of breaking that chain, whether it's supporting us directly or ending it somewhere with somebody they know, whatever, you have to have the compassion to do something wherever you are. I think that's hugely important to understand that there's hope to break that chain of darkness.
That's beautiful. And Alan?
So I just kind of want to bring this full circle then. So there we stood in the room with this individual, and you know, the thoughts are running through your mind. And just so everybody knows, it's not our power that keeps us from acting or enabling us to act. It was God. I mean, because if I had my way, the individual wouldn't be able to see the next day. And I was refrained from doing that. Which was good, because in the end, the best picture I saw was the child.
The best picture he saw was the child.
Being carried away by a caregiver. And,
So I'll take it away from Alan there while he composes himself. So one of the things that I think that drives Alan, we know, we joke about it, it's funny, his hunger. And that day it was his hunger for justice. And he does have that one emotion, but sometimes that emotion expresses itself through different means. And we can update you on where the kids are now. And that's what he was trying to do is, you know, the children were carried away that day and they were taken to safety. And because the team was able to refrain themselves through God's strength, we were able to seek justice for the traffickers. And that arrest, while it would have been more satisfying in the moment to send his head through a wall, that arrest is what enables us and gives us the power in those governments to keep doing our work and to show that this is wrong. Not only is it illegal, but we are going to prosecute now. And that man is behind bars and he will be for a long time. So is the mother. The mother has been arrested and she will be behind bars and she'll never have contact with her children again. So those children were processed through social services. Something that we're huge on here at Lantern Rescue is working with the government and making sure that the children are provided for and that they are not just whisked away to some unknown aftercare organization where there's no oversight. So the children were processed through the government, given a caseworker, given all the resources possible, and they were held with the government in a very well-vetted aftercare agency while the government looked for the fathers and investigated the fathers heavily. The children did have two different fathers. They were half-sisters, but that doesn't matter to them. The fathers were heavily vetted, heavily investigated, as were anyone close to them, anyone living near them, their jobs, their employers, their parents, anyone. And the children have been reunited with their fathers. The girls will be seeing each other on a regular basis. The fathers are working together to make sure that those bonds are never broken. And all of the traffickers from this have been arrested and will be in jail for a very, very long time if jailhouse justice doesn't get to them there.
So, but Ren, the one person you didn't mention specifically that I'm curious about is the guy who was paying for the whole deal to begin with, right? He was out of the country.
The guy back in America?
Yeah.
So without disclosing anything on the American side of things, he was also arrested. So everyone involved in the ring, everyone from the beginning to end, and every IP address that those products were sent to, those were investigated and those people were also brought up on charges. Because, you know, you think about it, and we said, you know, three people, basically. We have the mother, the person that was abusing, and the person that was purchasing. But he wasn't the only purchaser. You know, those pictures, those videos, everything can be sent many, many, many times to many people, and they can just continue to get that profit. So every IP address that was able to be found was prosecuted in that case.
That's just, you know, that's a beautiful thing to see God do what he does. He makes things right. It's interesting, as I think about the spiritual application of this particular story, I learned this week, if you look where in Exodus, speaking of brick making, where they were told to make the altar four square and 5 cubits by 5 cubits, if you're into cubits. But anyway, when I started to study that word in Hebrew, four square is actually the head of the corner. And I drew a cross and I went, oh my goodness, there's four squares. And so at the altar is where you guys put those emotions, right? You're going to have to give that to God. I want to take this guy out, but I'm going to give that to you because, you know, you've got me here to make a rescue, and this is what you're going to do. And the point is, Jesus makes everything. He made it right on the cross. And when we put things down on the altar, it's the head of the corner. I mean, he's going to make it right. And, you know, that's what the lantern does. It brings a light. And I was just thinking, man, it's just absolutely beautiful, the whole story, because like we talked about before, we don't want to, you know, photobomb Jesus. Like TC put, it was Jesus who set up the whole deal, right? And then he found like-minded people in the country to open the door for Lantern Rescue. And you can see who came to the rescue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm trying to picture you guys are rounding these people up. I know that TC, God gave you handcuffs, right? And I'm assuming you were using those.
Yes, he has given me handcuffs. Yes.
and zip ties.
And he gives Alan hunger, which, you know, blessed are those who hunger. I've heard that all my life, you know. And so, you know, as you guys are coming back, you know, can you give us the listeners kind of a sense of what that feels like?
I have been impressed with the different countries you've been to. There are good people trying to do good things, and they get connected. And what we know is what God's given Lantern to be faithful to. And I have seen in the States, I've seen it with Lantern, I've seen it in the different countries now. There are good people in that chain of light trying to do and doing good things, you know, to see justice and righteousness done.
All right. So I think this would be a good point to point out, Ren, that website where people can go, because we've got to get these crazy videos off the, you know, internet. And so the good news is Lantern has resources.
Yeah, so if you go onto our Instagram page, which is just instagram.com/lanternrescue, you'll see a post that says Trafficking Hub. in big letters. If you read in that post, you can read about how to sign the petition to shut down Pornhub and sites like that. And the actual website for that, if you want to just directly go to the website, it's traffickinghub.com. And, you know, that's not the only way people are getting a hold of this type of material. So another way that you can help prevent that is just to express your distaste for that and really live a life where people don't believe that that's something that they can be doing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that all that is going on. So we are so grateful that you listened today. As you think about, you know, God, you know, you're touching my heart with this. You know, where can I put feet to that faith? Can I put feet by, you know, praying for Ren and for Alan and TC and Mark, but also their families that, you know, these operations, as we heard from previous episodes, you know, they're away from their families for a long time. And there's a lot of, I can't imagine being out without my wife for, you know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever the time takes in order for these things to happen. So you can be praying for the families. There's Tammy and Lynn and Jamie that we can be praying for by name, and Caleb. And of course, if your feet take you to, you know, your wallet, you can turn to page 20 and just get and send something there to lanternrescue.org.
Yeah, I want to thank our listeners so far. You know, it's been a test of our faith and just following the Lord to come onto the radio and to begin to share these things. And it's from the graciousness of Truth Network and a donor that even, you know, provides us the possibility of doing this. And we, you know, our main goal is to see God glorified and to create an atmosphere where people realize this is a problem, a crisis, and they need to be involved. And so far, I got to think, there's been such a great response from people. You know, people have listened, they have given, they have emailed, they're saying they're praying, and it's just been such an encouragement, because sometimes we feel like there's not a lot of people in this space doing what we're doing, and this gives us a foundation of encouragement that means a lot.
Yeah, there's other figs out there that... Well, thank you for listening so much today to Lantern Rescue.
This is the Truth Network.